Welcome to the FinTech One-on-One podcast. This is Peter Renton, Chairman and Co-Founder of FinTech Nexus. I've been doing this show since 2013, which makes this the longest-running one-on-one interview show in all of FinTech. Thank you for joining me on this journey. If you like this podcast, you should check out our sister shows, the FinTech Blueprint with Lex Sokolin and FinTech Coffee Break with Isabel Castro, or listen to everything we produce by subscribing to the FinTech Nexus podcast channel. Before we get started, I want to remind you that FinTech Nexus is now a digital media company. We have sold our events business and are 100% focused on being the leading digital media company for FinTech. What does this mean for you? You can now engage with one of the largest fintech communities, over 200,000 people, through a variety of digital products, webinars, in-depth white papers, podcasts, email blasts, advertising, and much more. We can create a custom program designed just for you. If you want to reach a senior fintech audience, then please contact sales@fintechnexus.com today. Today on the show, we are talking small business lending with none other than Steve Alocca, the head of Funding Circle USA, officially known as the US Managing Director he is. Been wanting to get Steve on the show for a while. He's been in the job for almost a year, and he's got deep experience in fintech, which we obviously go into in some depth. We talk about what Funding Circle does today, its approach to underwriting, and we talk about loan demand as well and how that's been trending. And the big news we cover is the SBA 7A license that came out a few weeks ago, talking about what that means for Funding Circle and what it means for small businesses. We talk about lending as a service and embedded finance. We talk about the regulatory front there and this movement when it comes to small business lending. And much more. It was a fascinating discussion. Hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Hi, Peter. Great to talk with you, and thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Great to talk with you. I know we met many years ago. You've had a really interesting background, hitting some of the biggest names in fintech in your career. So why don't we get started by giving the listeners a little bit of background about some of the stops in your career to date.
Sure. Yeah, I started my career in traditional banking. I actually interned at the Federal Reserve, got me really interested in the money and banking system, started in traditional banking with a couple of different large banks, and found myself increasingly attracted to the idea of using data and technology to provide better solutions for consumers and small businesses who, desperately need help making smarter decisions around their money and ultimately feeling more confident about their money. So, of course, that led me to fintech. And it led me to a company that was one of the original fintechs, distributing private student loans largely digitally, and that was before the 2008 meltdown. That was a brief pit stop just to try to restructure that company, and that became starting my own company that focuses on data and better portfolio management services, largely around the education finance space. Ran that company for 4 years and had an opportunity to be able to transition leadership of that company that still very much exists and thrives today, but transition that leadership to another one of my co-founders and join PayPal. A unique opportunity to build out PayPal's credit business and be a part of the PayPal's growing payments ecosystem on both the consumer and the small business side. It also included starting what became PayPal Working Capital, PayPal's small business lending business. And then after nearly 5 years at PayPal, had an incredible opportunity to go and join Lending Club as president of Lending Club, and what eventually became Lending Club buying a bank, being one of the first fintechs to have what we call a marketplace bank. Did that for about 3 years, and then built a particular passion around the small business, the need in small business, which I found to be especially unmet in the marketplace, and that focusing on small business is what led me to another stop at a place called Blue Vine, really well known for small business lending, but also started small business banking, offered a small business banking product that today now has generated over $1 billion in small business deposits. I found it really interesting, that opportunity to at the intersection of lending and banking for small business. And then after about a year and a half with Blue Vine, all roads led me back to a place that I first encountered at PayPal, partnered with again in a couple of different capacities at Lending Club, and then partnered with again at Blue Vine. And that's, of course, Funding Circle. I mean, I joined Funding Circle earlier this year in order to, you know, take what is a tremendous business focused on providing capital that small businesses need to win, and using it as a platform to be able to do a lot more, helping small businesses be successful here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the lessons you've learned along the way that you've brought to Funding Circle?
I mean, one of the key things to me that differentiates fintech from traditional traditional financial services is not just the obvious, the focus on data and technology, but it's the customer centricity that just comes with the way that a fintech company thinks. I think it's a focus on product solutions that solve real problems that the customers have, leveraging oftentimes data and technology, but this starting the discovery process really from a true customer pain point or a true customer need, and then building solutions specifically for that need, is to me one of the great common threads across every stop I've had along the way in fintech. But that said, I think we're just at the beginning of the journey, Peter. Frankly, I think we haven't yet fulfilled the promise of anywhere near optimizing or best leveraging data and technology to be able to help consumers and small businesses make better decisions and have more confidence around their money. So I think the best is still in front of us.
Right. I would agree with that. So then you arrived at Funding Circle. Maybe we could just talk about what was the driving force for that decision. What attracted you to Funding Circle?
Yeah, it's simple. I mean, in each one of the stops, when I was at PayPal, again at Lending Club, and again at Blue Vine, what I saw in Funding Circle was a unique ability to be able to efficiently and effectively assess the credit risk of an established small business. So Funding Circle plays in a somewhat unique space within small business lending, really doing lower rate, more like bank quality small business lending to established small businesses, where a lot of the other fintech players are playing in the riskier, at the riskier end of the credit spectrum. And that bank quality, more assessing the creditworthiness of a more established business who's looking to borrow, you know, in Funding Circle's case, up to $500,000 in the form of a loan. You know, that's been, back to my traditional banking days now, that's been the great enigma. In fact, when I was at Wells Fargo, actually called this the invisible middle. I said, you know, banks are really traditional financial services, and banks are really good at, you know, helping understand credit and providing solutions for the needs of consumers, and, you know, pretty good at doing the same for large enterprises. But small businesses really kind of fall out of the middle, and the reason for that is it's incredibly complex, right, to try to understand and efficiently underwrite the risk of a small business. Through my travels, you know, Funding Circle just kept popping up as somebody who's pretty uniquely cracked the code on being able to combine not just automation and good credit modeling, but also balancing that with the selected, targeted manual intervention that you really need to do, the human touch that you need to have in combination with the best automation to be able to, you know, like I said, efficiently and effectively manage, understand, underwrite, and manage the risk of a more established small business looking to borrow more money. So it's that particular strength of Funding Circles combined with what I still think is one of the most urgent unmet needs in broader financial services, which is serving the financial needs of small businesses. It's the opportunity that I think exists at the intersection of those two things that, you know, makes Funding Circle pretty uniquely stand out.
Okay, so let's talk about what Funding Circle is actually providing. Can you maybe just talk about the different types of loan products that you offer?
So Funding Circle really focuses on an unsecured term loan product up to $500,000. Funding Circle has made more than $4.5 billion of credit available through that product since its founding. And that's just in the US. Funding Circle globally also, of course, operates in the United Kingdom. And the total global number is over $21 billion that's been lent to date. But here in the US, $4.5 billion to date been originated through that unsecured term loan product. Effectively unsecured term loan product, I should say. Like many loans of this size, there is a UCC lien associated with the loan, but it's effectively functions as an unsecured product. So that's really the core focus of Funding Circle, to help small businesses get access to the credit they need to win through a best-in-class installment loan product targeted at more established small businesses looking to borrow up to $500,000.
Right. Okay. So then let's talk about underwriting. You mentioned that, small businesses are complex and every small business is different. You've obviously got the different markets, different subsegments, different qualities of owners of companies. But I'd love to kind of get a sense of your approach here. And we've had a lot of progress, it feels like to me, in data availability over the last decade has improved dramatically. But I'd love to kind of get a sense of how you're sort of processing that data. Maybe you could touch on how you're using AI in this part of your business. Yeah, what's your approach to underwriting?
It all revolves around better understanding and measuring a business's ability to pay. So unlike on the consumer side, where credit bureau data can allow you to be able to have a very accurate prediction of credit risk without really measuring ability to pay. On the small business side, both because of necessity, because the bureaus are not as well tested as on the consumer side, but also because it just makes sense to do. If you can leverage some of the technology that you mentioned, or you referenced, that allows us to be able to see cash bank data automatically linked to a bank account and view real-time bank data, cash transaction data, cash on deposits, trends, the drivers of those things, that's going to allow us to be able to, much more accurately measure the true financial condition and ability to pay than, just the information that's reported to a credit bureau, which is still largely, for loans of up to this size, largely what the consumer credit space is going to rely on much more heavily than what we're doing today for small businesses at Funding Circle.
Yeah, we're recording this in mid-December, and the year is almost out, but we've still got a little bit of time left. But I'd like to get a sense of, when you look back at 2023, what has loan demand been like? I mean, I feel like the small business sector has just had this crazy run the last 4 years. Has this year been a normal year?
No, this year is anything but a normal year. I think sometimes interest rates have been so low for so long.
Oh, yeah, of course.
0% interest rates. This run-up that we've had in interest rates of effectively 550 basis point increase over the last, less than 2 years, is a larger increase in interest rates than we've seen, in 40 plus years in that period of time. In this short of a period of time. So, when the core cost of what the product that you're selling so dramatically goes up in such a short period of time, of course, that's going to have, massive impacts on the business, on demand, and on the ability to be able to, match even a best-in-class product with, quality applicants who need access to funding. So yeah, everything kind of has changed a bit this year, starting with a change in underlying interest rates, but also just because, the economy, I think, has become a lot less certain since the pandemic. We really haven't gotten back to what I would consider kind of a normal steady state, if there's ever such a thing, since the massive disruption that was the pandemic. So things have changed a lot. But in the face of that change, one thing has remained constant, which is there's still a lot of demand for small businesses that, need to smooth over uneven cash flow and, need access to low-priced capital to be able to run and grow their business, take advantage of opportunities to be able to, invest in a new location or expand inventory or hire So they're in the face of all this uncertainty and the underlying interest rates changing so dramatically in such a short period of time. You know, we've still seen completed applications go up 54% year over year.
Wow.
So there's still quite a bit of demand. I mean, part of that too is you know what we're doing to drive growth. We're still very much in growth mode for Funding Circle in the U.S. But you know, I think that when you look at that kind of a year over year improvement, it's a pretty good indication that there's still healthy demand.
Despite the interest rates, people are still willing to pay a higher rate to get their funding needs met. Obviously, I don't think anyone expects us to be paying the same rates that we're paying in 2021. When you started the year, obviously no one really knew exactly where we'd end the year in January. I know, we knew that interest rates weren't going to probably be cut anytime soon, but you said you're in growth mode. So you had planned to be growing this year, regardless of the interest rate environment?
We planned for even more growth this year. So although we've had, over 50% year over year increase in applications, we've also seen a healthy increase in the actual offers for credit we've made, but the offers for credit have grown at a lower rate. So whereas we've had a 54% year over year increase in completed applications, we've had a 35% year over year increase in offers. And that's a function of two things. It's a function of the credit quality of those who are applying. Especially as credit gets more expensive, anybody who can wait for potentially rates to come back down might be more inclined to wait. So that's certainly one of the things is just a shift in quality of that application mix. But then the other thing is that, like any prudent lender, when you've got a time where there's a lot more uncertainty in the economy, you've also got to be, more prudent and tighten your lending standards so that you're not going to be making loans that are not going to perform.
I want to talk about the big news from the SBA for the first time in, I think it was like four decades, has issued new SBA 7A licenses. Maybe you could just explain what an SBA 7A licenses and what actually you got approved for.
Yeah, this is a really big deal, Peter. This is what I couldn't be more excited about our ability going forward to be able to bring really compelling value to entrepreneurs and small businesses through better access to what is already a best-in-class product in SBA. So, the SBA, most people know, is among the, if not the lowest cost source of capital for most small businesses in the United States. The issue with the SBA is that because it's only offered through banks and a very limited number of small business lending corporations licensed by the SBA to make those SBA loans, for the last 41 years, there's only been 14 SBLC licenses. And because of that, and because of the fact that the process is lengthy and not particularly designed with a digital first approach, the other thing that people know about the SBA, besides that it's reliable access to low-cost capital, is it's slow. It takes a long time. It usually requires up to 50 documents and weeks many times to be able to get access to the loans. That's once you've applied, and just the act of applying itself usually involves a largely paper-based, very, very manually intensive process. What we're seeking to do is take advantage of an opportunity now to be able to bring a lot of what Funding Circle uniquely does really well, which is bring a product that is digitally native and was designed to be fast and easy in a digital environment, bring that to the SBA. So we can combine the speed and ease and digital experience that Funding Circle has become known for with the low cost access to reliable capital that the SBA is known for. I think the combination of those two is what the new SBLC license affords us to do. And we think the potential for it is going to be transformational for small businesses and maybe even for small business lending across America.
So what's the status of that? Like, when can you start doing your own small business or SBA loans? You've been doing 7A loans, it seems like, for a while, obviously not under your own license. What's the status of doing your own?
Right. What Funding Circle has done to date has been simply to refer customers who know about SBA and who want SBA as an alternative to the products that Funding Circle offers directly, will refer that customer to an existing SBLC or bank that they can make small business loans today. Going forward, once we actually have the license, and what the SBA announced last month was the intent to award that license, the SBA has to do a final exhaustive review of a number of policy documents and some other, you know, steps that validate that intent to provide the license, and then they'll actually grant the license. They haven't provided a specific time frame to be able to do it, but our hope is that it's imminent. Into 2024, we should have that license granted, and then we have the ability to start actually directly making SBA loans. And on our approach, like I mentioned before, is going to be to bring the best of Funding Circle, our ability to be able to bring those loans in through a digital experience that's going to be faster and easier than what any applicant has experienced before and looking for to get access to SBA funding.
Okay, well, let's hope so. So I want to talk about lending as a service, because I've seen articles about you guys, you know, working with companies like Customers Bank, Pitney Bowes, who's obviously a non-bank, you know, Dream Springs, another one I've seen. Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to do there. What's the strategy?
Great. Yeah. I mean, lending as a service, and another adjacency with lending as a service, the idea of embedded finance, is something that, you know, both are areas that we're really excited about. And the idea with both is bringing the best of Funding Circle, the ability to be able to bring a digital experience to both apply for and, you know, get access to a best-in-class credit product in a fast and easy way on your computer or mobile device. We want to be able to bring that to more, you know, banks, financial service institutions, and frankly, other companies that have large bases of small business customers who can value from getting that access that Funding Circle spent more than a decade developing. What we find is that, you know, banks are struggling to meet the needs of their small business customers. And other companies are looking to provide financing solutions for their small business customers who are hungry to find ways to be able to feel more confident about their money. Our view is that we can bring the application and lending experience that Funding Circle has developed, designed, and developed and honed over the past 10 years to banks and other companies that have strong bases of small business customers who could benefit from access to that service. And we think that's even enhanced in the world where, you know, we'll be offering not only a small business lending product, but also for the SBA product as well.
Okay, so One Funding Circle was started in the UK. How much do you interact with the UK office these days? I mean, do you sort of act pretty much independently, or are you in regular contact with the people over there?
It's really a little bit of both, Peter. I think we have the best of both worlds now. I mean, we have the benefit of having access to a lot of the resources of a global company. And in many ways, we've got an opportunity to draft off of and adopt best practices from the UK market, you know, where Funding Circle is larger in the UK market than what we do in the US today. But also there's a recognition that, you know, the US and the UK are two very different markets. So we do have, you know, quite a bit of autonomy and independence to be able to make sure that the solutions that we create and the decisions that we make are with our customer in mind, you know, the U.S. entrepreneur, U.S. small business owner specifically in mind.
So tell us about some of the new hires that you've got. I noticed one former Goldman Sachs person who we know reasonably well. And to tell us a little bit about, you know, the state of the executive team at Funding Circle.
Yeah, we've made some great additions over the past 10 months that I've been here to the Funding Circle leadership team, including Conti Mataya, who's somebody who worked with me at PayPal. And Conti runs product for us here in the U.S. and has just done an amazing job in just a few months now, already building out an entirely new product roadmap discipline for Funding Circle. And then most recently, you alluded to Kaz Joshi. We were able to attract from Goldman Sachs, and Kaz ran the embedded finance business at Goldman Sachs for small businesses, including a very large relationship with Amazon. So we're very fortunate to have not only Kaz and Conti on board here in the U.S., but a number of leaders within Funding Circle in the U.S. and even a couple from the U.K. That are totally dedicated to the U.S. business and help us chart a course for growth going forward.
Right. Okay. So I want to talk about regulation beyond the SBA, and obviously we operate with a lot of state regulatory frameworks. There seems to me that there's been movement for more transparency in small business lending. You know, we have the Truth in Lending Act for consumer loans. There is no national equivalent to that, at least not yet. But there are some state, I think your state in California is one that's sort of taking a lead here. What would you like to see when it comes to more transparency? And is there a regulatory solution that we should be pushing for?
The one thing I think that represents the biggest opportunity for us is just to continue to leverage this sort of running head start that we have with small business lending in particular, making better use of the data and insights and information that we increasingly have as the world continues to digitize. We've got data in actionable form to be able to actually measure the financial condition, the financial stability, and the financial health of a small business. And if we've got the ability to be able to get access to those data and better turn them into insights, it's incumbent upon us to be able to translate that back to a small business so that they can better understand what makes their businesses tick and make better decisions, which ultimately should lead to more financial stability and hopefully, more growth, more positive cash flow generation from that business going forward. And if we're doing that right, then shouldn't that picture be perfectly linked to the business's access to credit and the terms that they have to pay for that credit? That's the world that I get the most excited about, when it doesn't need to be a big mystery. Credit doesn't need to be a black box. What a small business can do to be able to impact their ability to get access to, confident, certain access to credit on the best terms doesn't need to be a big mystery. It just needs to be a better understanding and then a better ability to be able to manage those levers that make their business more financially stable and ultimately will help their business, win in the marketplace and therefore grow profitably and grow free cash flow over the future. The ability to be able to do that is where, regulators have a lot of space to be able to help us ultimately make sure that we're getting access to the data that can allow us to be able to bring that clearer picture to the minds of small business, and then make sure that we use that responsibly for the benefit of the small businesses.
Okay, so what is top of mind for Funding Circle in the new year?
For Funding Circle in 2024, everything is going to be about how we can effectively launch and scale the SBA 7A product that we'll be making directly with the new SBA license. I think we've got a truly transformational opportunity to bring the best of Funding Circle, the ability to be able to get access to the credit that a small business needs to win more quickly, more easily, and in formats that are more digital, and to deliver a better digital experience overall, and combine that with the low cost access to capital that the SBA is and has been for a long time, will continue to be reliably known for. I think bringing those two things together is a really unique opportunity for us, and that's going to be our predominant focus.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there, Steve. Always great to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and best of luck with that new SBA license.
Thank you very much, Peter. Been a pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for listening. Please go ahead and give the show a review on the podcast platform of your choice, and go tell your friends and colleagues about it. Anyway, on that note, I will sign off. I very much appreciate you listening, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.